Mark, I'm down as working with Dave on this, but my role is really to introduce the speaker, and then after that, it's Dave's ballgame.
Well, come over here and do it.
It's a really great pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dave Fisher, who I've known for more than 40 years. Dave is a retired educator, mathematician, engineer, and scientist. He has a bachelor's degree in engineering, physics, and mathematics from University of Missouri, Rolla. He's got a master's degree in mathematics from University of Kansas and a PhD from University of Nebraska. He's been an amateur radio operator holding extra class license for about 60 years, call sign W7FB. About the same amount of time, he's been a broadcast band DXer, and a big chunk of that as a member of the National Radio Club. Dave has written numerous articles on radios, antennas, propagation, and other technical items. Perhaps his most famous article appeared in QSD Magazine, the American Radio Relay League publication, in November of 85, called the, was it the Super Skyloop, Dave?
Loop Skywire.
Loop Skywire. He's also written a bunch of articles that have appeared in DX News, such as the Super Signal Snatcher, Direct Couple Loops, Antenna Patterns, and those are available through NRC reprints, or they appear in some of the antenna manuals that are published by the National Radio Club. This particular appearance by Dave relates to a project that occurred back in 1972 when we were all living in Nebraska. Dave directed Project NEPI, known as the Nebraska Beverage Project, where we built a 3,200-foot-long beverage antenna at the University of Nebraska Field Labs near Meade, Nebraska, which is about 30 miles north of Lincoln and 30 miles west of Omaha. And so during this presentation, Dave is going to talk a little bit about beverage antennas for broadcast band DXing with particular emphasis on Project NEPI. Now, he's going to be playing some recordings, but if we do have some audio issues, I did bring with me about a dozen CD copies of what you are hopefully going to hear here. And after the program, if anybody wants one of those copies, just stop by and I'll be happy to give you one. So without further ado, Gahodi.
Well, I have to explain that.
Okay.
First, I want to say that this presentation would not be possible except for Mark Durenberger's great effort to put the whole thing together in a PowerPoint. So we salute you for that, sir. Thank you very much. The name Gahodi, that's not the way you pronounce that. I became a member of the National Radio Club back in like 1960. There was a fellow back then by the name of Gordon Nelson. Gordon was quite a talented individual, lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and did an awful lot of work in the broadcast band DXing area. Well, my name then was Fish. So one day he anointed me with the official George Bernard Shaw version of Fish. The GH, if you use the word laugh, you got the GH is. If you look at the word women, the O is pronounced E. And if you look at the word nation, the last T-I-O-N is sh. So that is Fish. Yeah, I've been nailed with that for many years. Okay, which one goes which way?
The one on your on the right is the forward.
Okay, this one here? Hey, look at there. A beverage antenna is an antenna that rides stakes driven in the ground for as long as you want to make it. This is a picture that I stole. I do not know who it is from, but whoever it is, I thank them very much. But that's what a beverage looks like. It's a wire supported above ground, not high, by periodic stakes. And I would say this one's on the order of maybe 800-900 feet at best. And it's fed at one end into a receiver, and at the other end, typically, it is terminated to ground through a resistor, typically 500-600 ohms. The null that you get looking forward depends on the frequency. And so that's what I'd like to talk about, a little bit about the antenna itself. The ionosphere consists of two layers and one region. The F layer is the one that we use on the broadcast band. There is some E during the day, but the FCC has ruled that out. There is no skywave propagation during the daytime. The government says so. So if you look at the height of the F layer versus the height of the E layer, F is above E. So if you want to go from point A to point B on the Earth's surface, you will have on the E layer, you will have a lower angle takeoff or arrival because the layer is lower. Can you hear me okay? This angle here is less than that angle there because this height here is less than that height there. So the takeoff angle for E is always less, for given A and B, is always less than the takeoff angle for the F layer. The D region is not a layer. The D region is a very thick thing, maybe 30, 40 miles thick, and it has an awful lot of free electrons floating around in it. You try to send a signal through that and you excite those electrons. That's the reason, by the way, that this signal here that's coming up by the F layer, reflecting from that point back down, up in here we also have electrons, but they're very, very sparse. So your radio wave can move those electrons in sync with the signal that you're sending. Actually, it doesn't reflect. It refracts. Actually, it enters the layer and travels a distance is bent back down. That's called refraction. But if you take these two sides of the refraction and extend them up, they intersect at a point. That's what we call the virtual reflection point. And typically, that's the word we use for reflection. The D region, all it does is absorb the signal since there's so many electrons and ions floating around in there, all coming from the solar wind or a CME. What happens is these electrons bump into one another. And when they bump into one another, they lose the relationship to your signal, and it's now called heat. You're heating up the D region, and your signal information is not propagated. So with that in mind, let's go one more. We can now look at the E layer. The distance between two points is at the bottom of the graph. We'll take 950 miles. So at 950 miles, with the, I think my calculations are for 66 miles for this graph, for the E layer. That would be the middle graph right here. That's one I use for the patterns. It would show that at 950 miles, we have a takeoff, we have an arrival and takeoff angle of about 5 degrees. However, on the broadcast band, there isn't any such thing. What you find on a broadcast band, somewhere around right in here, the signals do not exist because they are lost to the Earth. So the closer you are, if you wanna get a signal from A to B, and the distance between A and B is 150, by the graph that I was using, that is approximately 70 degrees. That's pretty high up. We now have the F layer. The F layer is 100, 150, 200, 250, 300 miles. Now, there's two F layers. There's an F1 during the day. That would be these low numbers here. And there's an F2, which is really what we call the F layer, is the one that's 200, 250, 300 miles up in the virtual reflection point. And this is what you get. If you go to the same, that's pretty close, 1,050, you'll find that this is the one I used, that angle is like 15 degrees. And that's the one that antennas can respond to. There's very little signal coming in to any antenna, ham band, shortwave, or whatever, below 5 degrees. The ground just eats it up. And that's why you have patterns that have these big suck-ins right along the surface of the earth. If you look at this thing here, what this is a 3,200-foot beverage over here called Nebbi. And at 1,000 1,000 kilohertz or megahertz, the wavelength's 984 feet. Nebbi is now 3.3 wavelengths at that frequency. So the number of wavelengths in Nebbi changes with frequency. As a wave comes into this wire, I'm trying to do this diagrammatically, as a wave comes into this wire, it'll have a horizontal component and it'll have a vertical component. Well, the thing that Nebbi responds to is the horizontal, and since Nebbi is parallel to the ground, horizontal means parallel to the ground. That's this piece right here. This wave here is made up of that vertical wave and that vertical wave, I mean, and that horizontal wave. It's the horizontal wave that makes the beverage work. The longer that signal W travels, the more it's bent over. It's called wave tilt. And the larger this component becomes. So you build up more voltage over a longer path. However, the limiting point is, well, let's make a beverage 10,000 feet long. If you want to do that, you need wires about a foot in diameter because of the loss of the wire becomes significant. So anyway, that's how the beverage works. It works on the horizontal component of the electric wave as it comes in, introducing the voltage that now flows down the wire to the receiver or into the termination up there. There is a typical free space pattern of a full wave beverage. And the reason I know it's full wave, see these, well, this thing here is, if you can imagine and look at it better, you can probably see it better over there, it's like the bell of a flower or the bell of a trumpet. These are nulls right down in here. The signal goes down and then comes back up. So that's a fairly common, and these are called lobes. These are side lobes and these are nulls. And you get, for every wavelength, you get two of these things. Or every half wave, you get one. If I took a slice through the wire, this is the wire, if you wish, the axis of the antenna is right there. If I slice that, that's a picture I get. If you now rotate that around this axis right here, you'll get the one we just left. And these are called nulls, and these are called lobes. The major lobes are this one and this one. This happens to be symmetric, almost, and there's a reason for that. I won't go into it. And the nulls aren't quite the same. To try to get a picture of this for those of you who don't see this, if you take your hand and put the palm facing the floor, your fingers form the lobes of the antenna, with your middle finger being the wire itself. This is the middle finger, and these are fingers as they go out. Now, your fingers get shorter as you move away from the middle finger, at least most people. And so these lobes get smaller as you move angularly away from the direction of the wire. There is another one. That is probably a wavelength and a half at some frequency. These patterns change with frequency. That's the whole thing. There is a top view of that. There's a side view. Now, this one happens to be on the Earth. The bottom part of that is now redirected. And these, let me back up. These are patterns of the antenna on the Earth, finitely conducting Earth. There's a top view, there's a side view, and there's a slice that is, let's put it this way. This slice is at some, I come up here at some elevation, say right there, and then I slice it right across there, and that's what I get. So that is a slice of that three-dimensional pattern at some elevation. And if you now look at the vertical, which means you now cut it right through there, cut it vertically, that's what you get. Just like you did before, except now you're on the ground, and notice that there's no signal in here. This is like 5 degrees. This would be front to back. I also need to point out that these patterns are the right shape. These use the Norton Summerfield ground to compensate for certain things. I do not concern myself with efficiency. I do not concern myself with actual gain. These are what are known as directive patterns. That would mean that the thing operates at 100% efficiency. Gain would be once you take this pattern and shrink it or blow it up, you obtain a better response. Okay. There's another one. Beautiful, isn't it?
Australia.
Look at that baby. But notice that what you have off the front end of a beverage is a great big fat lobe, and then you've got these nulls here, here, and here. The longer the wire, the more halfways it has. That one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's a 3-wavelength piece of wire. Nibby, when I was at the University of Nebraska, was on the faculty, that's when all of this happened in 1972. And we got this crazy idea, let's put up a beverage. And I said, well, let me go to the university and see if we can't get a hunk of land. So I went to the EE department, we wrote this whole thing up, presented it to them, and they sent us over to the agricultural department. And we ended up with a 1 square mile, a section of land here. Knock yourself out. And to our amazing surprise, there's a shack on this thing. There's a power pole. This is kind of out in the middle of this whole thing, or off to the side a little. And these are pictures that this guy here is mentally deranged. Think about it. This guy is out in the middle of a section of land in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska at 2 o'clock in the morning. The temperature outside is 20 degrees, and he's listening to his radio. None other than Skip himself. That's an SX-71 receiver. And there's another position over here. But that's the shack we did. We had power. We had heaters. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Is that up by Mead?
Huh?
Could you back up one?
Yeah, back up one. There you go.
Is that up by Mead?
Ernie, I'll send you those. It's JPEGs. They'll look better.
Yeah.
Dave?
Huh?
Is that by Mead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right where the highway 30 turns south and heads towards Memphis. Right there at that intersection.
Yeah. And so here are 24 stations that we have taped, and this presentation was given 20 years ago. The antenna was put up in 72. Skip presented this to the NRC-IRCA 20 years ago in 92, and that's why the original slide said Project NEBI revisited again, because now I have added all of the detailed antenna patterns and the response and a calculation of the angles and all of that, and that's what you will see. This is a very simple graph, so all of these stations you will hear, hopefully. There's a list of them. First we have 4 locals, then we have regionals, then we have clears, then we have the Canadians. The most interesting signal of all is this one right here, 1240 KBMY. It's 685 miles away. It is 1 degree off the axis of the NEBI beverage. NEBI was lined up at 300 degrees, pointing basically right at Seattle. So I am 1 degree off, and the signal coming in by the F-layer, and that's what I show, angle of arrival for the F-layer is 27 degrees. It's coming in fairly high. That baby was there every night from S9 to 20 over, just sitting there like a rock. There was no such a graveyard on 1240 on that beverage. And then down in here, KGCX in Sydney, Montana. We can tell you stories and situations. Skip's got all this. Skip has all this information. And this is how this came together, because he kept all of the recordings and that. And we made cassette recordings after cassette recordings and cassette recordings, and we sent them to Mark. Mark's first email was, "Oh my God, this'll never play." So he had to clean it up, and clean it up he did. But anyway, some of these are really very good. In KGCX, KLMS, 27 miles to the south of us, is on the same frequency of 1KW. You hear 1480, and you hear the ID very clear from KGCX, Sydney, Montana, right at the tail end. You'll hear a disc jockey say, "KLMS." He's underneath, but Sydney controlled him. Now, what I want you to look at, in every one of these, I computed it for the path, for the exact bearing and the exact angle of arrival. So this one here is KPOK. There's no audio on this one. This to show you what to look for. 1,343 miles away. The signal is coming in at 291 degrees. This is 300 degrees right there. So I'm 9 degrees off of the axis, and I'm coming in at 11 degrees. There is 11 degrees. So you have the vertical pattern, and you have the horizontal pattern, and away we go. It's all yours. There's Sterling, Colorado.
This hour of music is brought to you with the best wishes of County Fine Furniture in Isla, Colorado, here on KGUK, Sterling, Colorado.
Billy.
Congress has recessed for the weekend. The Senate due back in session tomorrow, and the House ready to return on Tuesday. Action taken through late last night included the killing of a multi-million-dollar highway bill, agreement on Social Security laws, and a compromise on federal spending limit measures.
And just to show you that this was a graveyard. This baby just sitting there. Anyway, this one's coming 6 degrees off to the north, coming in at an angle of a 21 degrees. So it's coming in fairly high. It's only 853 miles away, but that's still pretty good for a local. Yeah, he's got a low voice. The next one is KTW in Seattle. There's KPOK, the one I was showing you before. '70 Seattle. Hang on, and we'll pick up some of the Canadians. They're clear.
Okay.
All right, here's Cook and Billings, 685 miles. Great signal on that one.
Radio will return to the air at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and will again present Showmanship Radio for the Big Sky Country. We invite you to join us in 6 hours when Good Time Cook Radio returns to the air. Good night.
KEIN Great Falls, that was pretty good.
2:36 on a Sunday morning. Good morning to you. What? Good morning to you. This is Mike Connors, as it were and as I am. Oh, I feel good this morning, man. Dynamite.
KAGO, Klamath Falls, Oregon. That ID is not all that good, but it's very clear.
From the factory warehouse of KAGO, this is Chris Fenog presenting Three Dog Night, one called Black and White.
And here's KRKO in Everett, Washington.
25 away from 2 o'clock at KRKO.
You'll find this week's KRKO Treasure Chest for the week. You'll fly first class for a weekend of fun at Disneyland. Listen for those clues broadcast each hour, 24 hours per day, till the chest is found. Use your skill, put them together, and find the KRKO Treasure Chest of the week.
KGCX Play, that, see where we can get it. And there's 1190 Portland.
From the KEX Weather Desk here in Portland, the weather outlook for Portland, Vancouver, the Willamette Valley. Partly cloudy through Monday night, morning fog and cloudy on Tuesday. Low at night near 35, the high today near 50. Currently it's 40 degrees in Portland, winds are light. Chance of rain less than 10% through tomorrow night. KEX in Portland, serving the Northwest with 50,000 watts. Russ Conrad, your host.
KGEM, Boise, that's a sign-off.
This concludes another broadcast day on KGEM Radio. We now leave the air for transmitter and equipment maintenance. KGEM operates on an assigned carrier frequency of 1,140 kilocycles with 10,000 watts of power from Boise, Idaho. Studios and offices in both Boise and Memphis.
KOMO, that's really clear.
Jay looks at all the latest news from the KOMO radio newsroom. Next, the music of KOMO's nighttime Seattle will continue right after the news. This is KOMO, Seattle Radio 1000, the voice of Como Country.
There's coffee. This is a sign-off.
And so we've come to the end of this broadcast day. KOFI in Kellersville, Montana, the Big Sky's most powerful station, is locally owned and operated by the Pontevedra Broadcasters. We transmit on the third channel frequency of 1180 kilocycles with a power of 10,000 watts, as authorized by the Federal Communications Commission. We will return to the air tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Now, on behalf of the entire staff here at Coffee, good evening and good morning.
All right, we'll move. Here's CHAT. Now, that's a very clear one.
The overnight low has been a frozen temperature at 28. Clear skies with a wind west-southwest at 14. CHAT News for Alberta, including Saskatchewan, next at 6:30 on 1270 Radio.
Here's CJJC Langley.
And the price for all these great hits is just $4.50.
Send $4.50 to Country Bonus, Radio CJJC in Langley. Money back if not delighted.
But what I wanted you to notice was, look at the bottom. That baby is right on that main lobe, and almost every one of these, except for this, where I'm 22 degrees off of the bearing. And look at the horizontal pattern. You're cutting right across here. You're not cutting like that. You're cutting this pattern right across there, and that's what you get up here. Then, when you come in here and you cut across that way, that's the pattern you get. So you have a vertical slice and a horizontal slice. That's it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.